It's interesting how we all go through our lives covering up, hedging, dodging, dissimulating, even deceiving. We engage in these behaviors not because we enjoy it, because so often it seems that we have no other choice. We feel that we simply cannot take the risk of being transformed, of letting other people know us as we really are, because we think that if they do so, they simply might be able to see through us, and then we would cease to exist. We engage in our own little self-revelations in tiny doses, keeping secret as much as we can, and revealing only the little that we have to reveal just in order to survive living with other people. When we hear the Good Shepherd say today that he knows us, we ought to be properly terrified. If we understand what it is that he really means, how could it be that he knows us as we are, and yet we still are able to go on living? Self-rejection, self-hatred are as universal as original sin. They are simply part of the human condition. They are some of the primary consequences of original sin, because they are rooted in the fear each of us has of non-being, a fear possibly of non-existence, which is at the very heart of our fatal human flaw in this human condition. It's simply a fact of life that really only a few of us have had the experience in life, that we have had the experience of the kind of love that makes us sufficiently secure that we don't have to hide or pretend. We think, well, God may know us as we really are, but we say we don't have to live with God every day in the same way that we have to live with other people. Or else we're tempted to think it also may be the case that perhaps God does really love us the way we are, and because of what we are. And then we say, well, that might be fine for God. After all, she's a very sympathetic and forgiving person. But then we say, not all human beings are that way. We say we can afford to be open with God, but we can't afford to be open with our fellow human beings. It's too frightening. Now, the ridiculous part of our constant pretending in life, our hiding of our true selves, this dodging game that we play, is that the person whom God loves is usually far more lovable than the person that we go on pretending to be. That person of which we are so ashamed, in other words, is a far more admirable kind of self way deep down than the kind of person that we fake out of the curious conviction that no one could possibly love the self that we try to hide as we know our true self. It's even more ironic because generally we are not able to deceive those people who love us. Those people who love us do not love the disguises we wear, the masks, the ducking and dodging games we play. The people who love us love the hidden self that we only occasionally reveal, that real self that fascinates people, that intrigues them, that delights them, that makes them wonder what we really are like behind the mask. It's a savagely ironic business. Most of us are loved precisely because of that aspect of our own personalities that we think is the most worthless, the most unlovable, the most ridiculous, and the most shameful. And it turns out that God's taste and the taste of those people who do love us is better than our own taste. And the Good Shepherd's claim today that he knows us as we are is actually a claim based not on factual knowledge at all. The Good Shepherd really is not into the personality type, the diagnosis, the test score game. The knowledge of the Good Shepherd implies and involves an authentic love for each of us. And more precisely, his knowledge is the kind of knowledge that comes through love of each of us. And because our Good Shepherd sees us through the eyes of love, his knowledge, in the word know or knowledge, is a very profound, ancient, scriptural sense of the word know. When the Good Shepherd says he knows us, he is using it, as used in Scripture, as a euphemism for sexual intercourse. What he means really is to know someone as a person completely and totally. The Good Shepherd today tells us, in other words, that the knowledge that he has of us is even more intimate than lovers have of each other's bodies, more intimate and more affectionate than lovers have of themselves. But even in our most powerful, intimate love, this mutual game of dodging and ducking not only survives, but it ends up becoming an intricate and complex dance. A dance in which two people, married for years perhaps, share their own bodies, share their own intimate lives, share their home and their children, and still they go on hiding from one another. Hiding for fear that if perhaps they become transparent to one another, they will be destroyed. And all the while, of course, each is in love with precisely that aspect of the other person which he or she is most likely to want to hide. Rarely, if ever, does anyone say to himself or herself, in effect, really, what does it matter? If I am known that well by God, and if the other person who loves me really does love the real me anyway, despite all my masks, despite all of my elaborate game playing, then why don't I just stop it? Why don't I make that leap of trust and stop pretending to be someone that I'm really not? Those kinds of leaps of trust must be renewed constantly. And each time we make that leap of trust, as we must, to reveal ourselves to the person we love, there's always a risk of pain and a risk of suffering. But that is far, far better, to take that risk, to accept it, and to be trusted. Because the only alternative is to go on building up a stronger, thicker, more impassable wall of self-protection, to isolate ourselves into a one-person unit, or eventually we become utterly, totally, completely alone. All of us know the temptation, because we're human. We don't really believe that there's enough worth, enough dignity, or value in who we are to take the risk of trusting our real self to other people who love us. But that's why we celebrate this resurrection season. Because in this season, each of us is not only invited, but given the strength. Invited to rebirth, to learn how to live again, to take a risk, to be confident that in reality, the Lord gives us the strength to believe that life is always stronger than death, that love is stronger than hatred, that hope is stronger than fear. And this is the time to renew our lives with a new sense of confidence and trust, because we do believe that in the love of God that is manifested to us by the risen Jesus, the Good Shepherd, life is only truly lived when it is constantly renewed. Life is worth living only when we go on taking the risk, day in and day out, to try to renew it. And that's the entire theme of the Good Shepherd Psalm. Precisely because the Good Shepherd knows us as a groom knows the bride, and loves us as the bride loves the groom, we can be confident that each of us is worth loving. Each of us can take a risk to be ourselves in our close relationships with other people. And it is precisely, and that's the irony, precisely that seemingly worthless person whom we are so desperately eager to hide, that the Good Shepherd knows and loves. He does not want someone else. He wants the person that we really, really are.